Good morning, church. And I bring you greetings from Ghana, West Africa. I bring you greetings from Crossroads Baptist Church. This morning, I'm delighted to be here once again. And I'm happy that Pastor Rawls and the leadership of the church can allow me to be here this morning. It's always a privilege to be here. It's always feel at home when I'm at First Baptist Church like here. Thank you so much for your continual support for the ministry in Ghana, and God bless you richly. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, and our text is going to be from verse 1 to verse number 7. Sorry, I take it. Romans chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. I'm sorry. I have Hebrews in front of me. I have open Romans and Hebrews 11. I'm sorry. In Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews, which is ascribed to Apostle Paul, and he writes the book of Hebrews to many of the Christians that were scattered and persecuted abroad. And in his writings, in chapter number 11, Paul comes to the fathers of faith, and he tells many of the Christians that have scattered abroad what the fathers of faith had gone through and what they stood for, and why God rewarded and recommended them. So this morning, I'm going to take our text from Hebrews chapter number 11, from verse number 1 to verse number 7. But I read verse 6. The Bible says in verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we come before your throne this morning. The all-seeing, the all-knowing God. We hear not because we have strength, not because we are special before you, not because you've done something peculiar for us, but because your grace is sufficient for us. That's why we are here this morning. And Father, this morning, even as we've gathered to worship, may our worship be presentable in thy sight, O Lord, our King. And may you receive our worship, even as your word comes forth. Prepare the tables of our hearts to receive your word. And O God, if there's anywhere we've gone wrong and if we have to make amends in our lives, I pray, oh God, that the Holy Spirit of God will arrest us today and make right with you. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to speak to you on the topic, excellent report by faith. Excellent report by faith. And of course, if you read in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we have the heroes of faith. The heroes of faith. And if you just get one thing out of my sermon this morning, if you just get one thing out of my whole sermon this morning, is that thing that I want you to realize, that real faith must be seen in every aspect of our Christian life. If you get just one thing out of my sermon this morning, is that faith must be seen in every aspect of our Christian lives. You know, the Bible definition of faith, as we see here, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there are many other dictionaries that have defined faith as trust, as complete confidence, loyalty to one's word or honor or promise, believe and trust in God, a system of religious belief. So faith has been defined. But thank God that the Bible itself is a dictionary on its own, so that it gives us the real definition of faith as substance not seen yet believed in. In Hebrews chapter number 11, we see a lot of dead heroes. But these are not dead. These are living Christians who daily cheer us on. Even as we read about them, we read about their works. They daily cheer us on to continue in our victoriously in our Christian lives. And this morning, I want to share with you, even as I talk about excellent report by faith, I want to let you also to realize that faith is not a positive thinking. Faith is not a positive thinking. Faith is not a good look at things. Faith is not a list of rules that you should follow to the end. Faith is not hoping for the best, or hoping that everything turns out right. Faith is not a good emotional feeling, but faith is an evidence of things not seen and yet believed. And so this morning, even as we go through, I would like to present to you three heroes of faith that God used to encourage us. In other translation, we read that faith is confidence and conviction. And indeed, it's true. Because when you read in the King James, the word substance means in the Greek to stand under. It has a root word of a foundation, to have a strong, firm foundation of belief. In Hebrews 3 and verse number 14, that word confidence means firm trust or assurance or sure. And so that same word in the Greek also means conviction. So it's a confidence with conviction. Confidence with conviction. We have confidence that one day the Lord will come, and he will come for his own. We have that hope that one day when he comes, the dead in Christ will be resurrected and join those who are alive. We have that strong confidence in the belief that Christ left with the church. But we have the conviction that God exists. We have the conviction that though we have not seen God, but we know that God exists. And we know that God formed the world out of nothing. That this world did not evaporate out of something. That this world did not come on its own. That this world was created out of nothing by God. And so we do believe that God is the creator of the universe. And God is his own man. No one advises him. No one teaches him. No one instructs him as to what to do. He does what he wants to do at his right time and his own timing. And he formed this world out of nothing. He is the maker of this world, the originator and the designer of this world. I don't believe in the modern day evolution theory that we are some atom, and after many years, we burst out to become human beings. I believe that all men, white or black, was created by God himself. And so the world was formed by God. But in this morning, I want us to see three heroes that the Bible presents to us, and their character and their examples of faith that makes us to honor them even more. And these three heroes, number one is found in verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being he being dead, yet speaketh. I call the faith of Abraham a worshiping faith. Although even as believers and as Christians, we in our life, our daily life, must be worshiping God. Everything we do must be a worship unto God. But Abel's worship to God was a worshiping faith. I believe that the parents of Cain and Abel had told Abel and Cain how to worship the Lord, how to go before the Lord, how to make sacrifices to the Lord, and what to bring before the Lord. But the Bible tells us that on that day when Abel and Cain brought their sacrifices to the Lord, Cain brought that which was fruits unto the Lord, that which he planted unto the Lord. And Abel brought that also of his farm, a ram or a lamb unto the Lord. The Bible does not tell us what sacrifice was there, but I believe it was a sacrifice of the forgiveness of sin. Okay? That's what I believe. And the Bible says that Abel presented a more sacrifice, a more pleasant sacrifice to God, and God was satisfied with it. And I believe that it was not only the sacrifice that he brought. God looked at his posture and his belief and how that he brought the offering unto him. If we will worship and worship the Lord well, he wants a true, total, complete worship. It must not be a worship of grumbling and unsatisfying before him. It must be a true worship. Many are Christians worship the Lord with excuses. Many are Christians worship the Lord with substitute. Oh, this also is good enough for the Lord. I think when we do this, it's okay. God will be pleased with that. It's not what you think. It's what God has instructed us to do. And I believe that's why Abel's sacrifice was more excellent before God. That his sacrifice was pleasing unto the Lord. And that his sacrifice not only was his posture and attitude before God, but his sacrifice also demanded blood. The Bible says without the sharing of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Abel knew that well. He had been taught by his parents. His parents knew that well, and so they translated that to their children. If you have to sacrifice to God, a sacrifice of worship, even this morning, what type of sacrifice are you going to worship God with? Is there a sacrifice where you'll be complaining? Pastor has preached long. There's no time to waste. Pastor, finish quickly. Let's go home. It must be a complete outpouring of worship to God. That's what God demands of us. He demands an obedience of sacrifice from us. He demands a sacrifice of true heart to him. He demands a right attitude of sacrifice to him. God accepts our worship when we have brought it to him in truthfulness. Let us realize that whatever worship we do, God observes it. And even as I was reading this, I cast my mind on Christ and that poor widow who put in her two mites, even as they worship in the temple. And all the Pharisees brought their big monies and they were dancing and putting up their big money. And Christ says, of all that you have come to worship, an worship of offering unto God, this poor widow has sacrificed the most. If we will have to sacrifice a sacrifice of worship unto God, it must be complete. It must be genuine. It must be out of our hearts. For God desires a complete worship from his children. It was not only a worshiping faith of Obed, but we go down to verse number 5. You see, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And I pray to God, even as I read this last night again, I pray to God that this must be my transition to heaven. As I lie in my bed, I just want to see myself being lifted up to heaven, not seeing death. Would that be possible? Only God knows. It might not even be possible this time. But the Bible says that Enoch so walked with God that when they came to look for Enoch, the next day Enoch was not found because God had translated him to heaven. If our walk will be pleasing to God, the Bible says even our enemies will be at peace with us. Enoch walked with God faithfully. He wasn't a pretender. Enoch did not pretend to walk with God. He walked genuinely with God. Enoch did not complain when he was walking with God. He walked by faith. God, show me the way to go, and I will be obedient to you. For 65 years, Enoch walked on his own. He didn't bother about anybody. He didn't care about anybody. He walked a life that was free on earth to live. He did all the social vices that he could do. But the Bible says that when he was 65 years, Enoch came to his senses and realized there's God, that I must be obedient and I must trust in and follow and walk in his ways. And Enoch walked with God. Brethren, what walk are you walking with God? Does your walk pleases God? If God was to recommend how we have walked with him, where God says, my child, you have walked with me well, and your walking has pleased me, will God say that? Will God have that recommendation for you for inner walk with God? Many, many of us as believers walk like this story or a question this little girl asked her grandfather. This little girl had gone to the grandfather's farm and she's observed all the birds, how they were walking. And she asked her grandfather, I see all the birds walk straight on two legs. But this duck is not walking straight. Is she sick? Because she's walking like that. She's walking sideways. The grandfather said, no, that's how it walks. That's how it walks. It's neither straight or curve. And many believers, many of us are walking the way of the dog. The Bible says, for let your heavenly Father know, if you are children of light, that your heavenly Father is light. Brethren, if we will walk, let's walk straight before God. Let us not walk like the dog. You know, the Bible gives us so many instances of walk. not only walking to please God, but if our walk will please God, then we must walk in the light. Amen. We must walk in the light. In John chapter 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If we are so the children of God and our Father is the God of light, then we are to walk in the light, not in darkness. For Enoch's walk was in the light. It was clear for everyone to see that Enoch was a Christian. He was not shy of it. Enoch walked in light. He walked in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." If we will be what Christ wants us to be, let's walk in the Spirit. Let us know that the Spirit is with us at all times. Wherever we are, God is there. And therefore, we must walk as children of God. Not only walk in the Spirit, but walk in the love of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 4, number 2. Ephesians 5, 2, the Bible says, "And walk in love, even as Christ also had loved you, and had given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice of God, for his sweet smelling savor." Let's encourage one another. Let's call and be concerned for one another. Let the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Let's walk in love. A church that walks in love, you see the results. Let's walk in love, brethren. Let's walk circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15. The Bible encourages us to walk carefully, circumspectly. Walk carefully. You know why? The devil, the roaring lion, is going about seeking whom to devour. Walk carefully. For if we are not careful in our walk as believers, we will fall prey to the devil. Let's be careful as believers. Let's walk carefully. But we see the last character in verse number 7. The Bible tells us in verse 7, "For by faith, being warned of God of things not seen yet, move with fear, prepare an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of God." Oh, Father Noah, he preached 120 years, no one to listen to him, only his household. But what a father he was. And I preached this sermon a few months ago, and I told my church members and I told the fathers, if we all be like Father Noah in our houses will be a place for the Lord to dwell in. Because Noah sought for the righteousness of his house. Not only his house, his children's wife got to know the Lord also. Noah preached 120 years and nobody came to church. I would have been discouraged as a pastor. But Noah was not willing to give up yet, because he had a mandate, and the mandate was of God, to warn the world about the coming destruction. And Noah had to tell the world. It was a hard message, a message that no one wants to hear. Even like today, when we talk about the judgment of God, people don't want to hear it. People tell you, oh, but God is love. How would the God of love destroy the whole world? The same God of love is the God of justice. And he has the right to do so. Noah preached and preached and preached and preached, and nobody listened out of his household. Well, I thank God for Noah that he saved his household. That today we read about his commitment to God as a testimony of his honor unto God. He worked, and he worked faithfully. I call Noah's faith a working faith. A work where you don't know where it's ending, a work where you don't know how to even begin. Though the dimension of everything has given to you, and you don't know what to do. And Noah had an impossible message. God is going to destroy the world with rain. What are you talking about? What is rain? I don't know rain. I've not seen rain. Have you seen rain before? But by faith, Noah worked unto God. That's how we as believers must work unto God. Let us not look at what man will say. Let us not realize what man is saying about it. Let us not imagine what man will say about this. Let us work us unto God. Faithfully, by faith unto God, like Noah. The Bible tells us that because of that, he saved his household. If we will work unto God, what we need to do, we will be saving this generation. And I tell my members, and I tell them every time, that as the year flows by, I get frightened by the world. Because the world keeps changing and changing and changing. And if we, as believers today, do not work genuinely unto God to save the next generation, who will do that? God is going to use you and he's going to use me to save the next generation. And if that will happen, we must work and work faithfully unto God. Faithfully unto God. Brethren, I tell you what. Noah received a reward. He received a reward. The saving of his household. Our work on earth is not in vain, brethren. Continue on your faithful work of Christ. For it is not in vain. For when we grow not in weariness, God will reward us. That's what the Bible says. For when we do not faint, God rewards. And that's what God did to Noah. Because he did not faint and completed the job, God saved his household. Oh, God will save if we will work and work genuinely unto God. We will take the gospel out and we will work and let everyone know that Christ loves the world and Christ died for the world. The world will be a blessing to live in. What faith of work do you have? How are you working for the Lord? Are you working so that your pastor will see that you're working? Or you're working to please God? What work? How are you working for the Lord? I encourage each one of us this morning that we must have a worshiping faith and have a walking faith and have a working faith. For these, the heroes of faith had, and God commended them. These are pleasing unto God. What is your own faith like? I want you to just answer that question in your mind. What does your own faith look like? Your own faith, is it a faith that one day the world can be turned around for Christ Jesus? Or your faith, it's not possible. we need stronger Christians to have a strong faith in the Lord to work for him. May God bless his word. Shall we pray, please? Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for this time spending your word, and I thank you for the knowing the truth of your word, that even we as believers, we need faith to walk with you on earth, oh God. Many of us are believers, but the faith to continue in this Christian life sometimes is so difficult for us. But I thank you for the examples of these heroes of faith that we can read and learn about daily. And I pray that, oh God, you give us a faith to worship you and worship you completely. A faith of walk, to walk with you to the very end of it, not looking at what man would think or say about us. Let the world think what they think. But I think the thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that we will work the work of faith till you come back and you found us good and faithful servants. Oh, Lord God, there may be some here this morning who are thinking about their walk with you, thinking about their worship with you, thinking about the work, the working for you and how they must do it. I pray that, oh God, you give them faith to walk and to worship and to work for you completely. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.